All right, let me ask you please to turn tonight to Genesis chapter 10. Genesis chapter 10. And I want you to have your Bible open tonight. I want to show you some things that I trust will be a help to you and a blessing to you, and teach you some things about the situation in the Middle East and what's going on in the world in which we live. There is, the Bible is an amazing book, and the Bible has the answers. It has not only tells us the past, but it also reveals to us the future. And there are some amazing things that we can glean from the Bible that you're not going to get from any other source. And so some things we'll learn tonight from the Scripture. I want you to look with me, please, at verse 1. It says in Genesis chapter 10 and verse 1, "Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And unto them were sons born after the flood." Now, in verse 2, you will notice here he is going to take the sons in reverse order. He talks about Japheth first, and we learn that from Japheth we have in verse 2 Gomer and Magog and Madai and Javan and Tubal and Meshech and Tiras, and the sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, I'm glad I don't have to spell all these, aren't you? And then Riphath and Togarmah. And the sons of Javan, Elisha, and Tarshish, Kittim, and Dodanim. All right. By these were the isles of the what? Gentiles. All right. Now, let me just tell you that the sons of Japheth are the Gentiles of this world, and I'm not going to take time to go through all of these. But you see, Gomer, the descendants of Gomer became Germany. Germany, Magog, that's Russia. Look at Togarmah in verse 3. Togarmah, that's the ancient civilization of that is today Turkey. Turkey, Togarmah is Turkey. These names just coming down through the centuries. All right, so that's verse 2 through verse 5, and that's Japheth. All right, now look please now at verse 6. It says, "And the sons of Ham," and then it lists all the sons of Ham, and we find here Cush and Mizraim and Phut and Canaan. Is that Canaan ring a bell? Canaan, land of Canaan. All right, the sons of Cush, Seba and Havilah, and on and on and on. Verse 8, "And Cush begat Nimrod." All right, Nimrod, you remember him. He was the guy that founded in verse 10 Babel, the ancient capital of that city of Babel that became the empire Babylon. All right, so you have the sons of Ham. And you'll look at verse 11. It says, "Out of that land went forth Asher and builded Nineveh." All right, Nineveh, the ancient Assyrian capital, Asher, Assyria. All right, and on and on it goes, listing all those guys. All right, now look down, please, at verse 21. It says, "Unto Shem also, the father of all the children of Eber, the brother of Japheth, the elder, unto even to him were children born, the children of Shem, Elam, and Asher, and Arphaxad, and Lud, and Aram, and the children of Aram, Uz, and Hul, and Gether, and Mash, And Arphaxad begat Selah, and Selah begat Eber. And unto Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, for in his day was the earth divided. And his brother's name was Joktan. And Joktan begat that guy, Almodad, and Sheleph, and Hazar Maveth, and Jerah, and on and on and on. It says, and their dwelling, verse 30, was from Mesha, as thou goest unto Sephar, a mount of the east. And these are the sons of Shem, after their families, after their tongues, and in their lands, and after their nations. These are the families of the sons of Noah after their generations in their nations, and by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. All right, now, let's pray, and then I want to show you some things tonight. Let's pray. Our Father, we ask that you will bless us tonight as we take a look at some of these passages of Scripture that unveil for us and show us why the world is in the condition that it's in today. And Lord, I pray that you will bless and open our understanding of the Scriptures tonight. Father, we realize that your word is the final authority. And Lord, we can be assured that the word of God is inspired, that it is not everything that you know, but it's all that you want us to know. And Father, we can look at the Scripture and we can learn and we can see things that we're not going to get in a textbook somewhere, or we're not going to get over the Internet. Lord, these are things that are only revealed through your word. And so I pray that you will bless us tonight as we look at Scripture. Guide and direct our thoughts now, Father, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, I want all of you to realize and understand at the beginning of what I'm going to share with you tonight, that the beginning of civilization took place in what is today the center of conflict around the world, that is the country of Iraq. If you go back to Genesis chapter 2, in verse 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14, you will see that when God created the world and established the Garden of Eden, there were some rivers that were flowing through the Garden of Eden. And the amazing thing is that that even after the flood, and after, as we just read in verse 25, after the days when the earth was divided, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but if you were to just take a big map of the world, and you were to just cut the world in half and just kind of open it up, if you were to put your hands on both sides and squeeze it, everything fits together. Have you noticed that? Well, there's a reason. And that's because after the flood, which was a universal flood, and after the waters abated from off of the earth, that was when the earth was divided, and you had the continents separate, and you had all the formation of the oceans and the islands of the sea, and et cetera, et cetera. Now, of course, through the centuries, with earthquakes and everything that has gone on, there has been some changes to the earth. But basically, for the last 4,000 years, the earth has basically been in the same general shape that it's in today. But you go back in Genesis 2 and you'll read that even back before the flood, when God created the earth, there were four rivers that went through Eden. Two of those rivers are mentioned. One is the Euphrates River, which still has the same name today, and the other is the Tigris River, which is known in the language in the biblical languages as the River Hiddekel, and those two rivers are mentioned, and they still flow through what is today modern Iraq and the city of Baghdad. which is just north of where Babylon was. And so you may you look at the world today and you see the focus of attention where it is, and it has to just pique your interest. It has to amaze you. It has to make you wonder, just exactly what is going on and where we are in our society today. Now, I've had folks ask me since we entered into this conflict with Iraq. I've had a lot of folks ask me, said, "Pastor, why do you think that the United States got involved in this conflict?" And I always just turn it around and I ask others, that the ones that ask me that question, I say, "Well, why do you think it is? Why do you think it is?" I mean, I have my opinion, but usually when someone asks me a question like that, they have their own opinion. They're just wanting to see if I agree with them, and most of the time I don't. Theirs is a political agenda, and mine's biblical. But I've asked them. I said, "Why do you think that America has gotten involved in this matter?" I've had folks say, "Well, I think America got involved to combat terrorism," surely that was the human reason that was given by our president when the war started. But I'm not so sure that that's really what is at the root of our going into this conflict. If that was really the root, and if we were consistent in that position, then we would have had to have gone to the United Nations many, many times back in the 90s to get a resolution against the Soviet Union for their aggression against Latvia and Estonia and some of the satellites that broke off. And then the atrocities of Afghanistan and all that. So I'm not so sure that that stopping aggression was our only motive for going into this conflict. Some would say, "Well, it's oil. We went over there because of oil." And I really don't think that that's it either. The simple truth of the matter is, if we were going over there for oil, we would have taken the oil reserves for ourselves. But we haven't done that. That has never been the intent. It's never been on the table. The Iraqi people are getting all of the profits and all the benefits from the oil that is flowing out of Iraq. So I don't think that oil is the issue. You say, "Well, then, Pastor, what do you think is going on?" Well, hold your place here and go over for just a minute to the book of Proverbs. Let's see, what chapter is that? 21? Just hold your place here, but go over to the book of Proverbs for just a minute. And look at, chapter 21 and verse 1. Look at this verse of Scripture. It says, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will." The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Folks, this book is the Word of God. I believe that with every fiber of my being. You know that. I believe the Bible to be the Word of God. And that being so, the plan of God for this world is written. It's written. We know that the Bible tells us that Jesus is coming again. He made it very clear to the disciples that he was coming again. And then as he ascended up into heaven, the two angels came and they said to the disciples, "Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come again in like manner as you have seen him go." And I believe that the Bible tells us that Jesus is coming again. I believe that more than the fact that the United States is fighting aggression, or more than the fact that we are fighting for oil, I think that it is the fact that God is focusing the attention of the world upon a geographical location where the world, where the end of the world is going to take place. I think that we're zeroing in on the last days of the last days, and that God's plan for this world is about to be unfolded. You say, well, Pastor, do you think that this is the end? Do you think that we're at the end of things? Well, I believe that only fools set dates. Now, I really do. You remember back in 1988, that guy wrote a book and he said 88 reasons why Jesus is coming back in 1988. And then 88 passed and Jesus didn't come. So he came back and said, whoops, missed one. 89 reasons why Jesus is coming back in 89. Well, folks have been trying to set dates for as long as the church has been up and running. And it is foolish to set dates. And I'm not about to do that. I'm not about to enter into that. But folks, anybody who can sit down and read the Bible has to see and has to understand that the time of the day of the Lord is at hand. I believe with all my heart that Jesus is coming again. And I also believe with all my heart that it could be today. We don't know when he's coming, but we know that he's coming. I heard somebody say the other day that they're fearful that Iran is going to get a nuclear weapon. Well, folks, you don't have to be fearful that Iran is going to get a nuclear weapon. They're not going to get a nuclear weapon. You say, well, how do you know that? Because Israel is not going to let them get a nuclear weapon. Now, the sky is blue and grass is green and a bear has hair. Some things just are what they are. And Israel is not going to let a madman who has already said that he will take the nuke and he will blow Israel off the map. They're not going to sit back and let this guy get a nuclear weapon. Now, they're just not going to do it. And so you need not fear. You say, well, Pastor, is this the end? Well, everybody who knows anything at all about biblical prophecy is definitely concerned about things. And I heard somebody say the other day, do you think we're about to enter into World War III? Folks, we have been in World War III since September the 11th, 2001. I mean, my goodness, we need to open our eyes and realize what is going on. Now, before I go into too much more, let's go back to this passage of Scripture here for just a minute. And let me take you back to just after the flood. And let me take you back to about 4,000 years ago when the sons of Noah stepped off the ark and when they started to spread. And let me show you some amazing things here about these individuals. In Genesis 10, we actually see the cradle of civilization. We see the three sons of Noah went out and we have through them the beginning of what we know today as our world. I want you to notice, first of all, we have the sons of Japheth mentioned in verse 2. Japheth means this. It means scattered abroad. Scattered abroad. That's what the word Japheth means. Scattered abroad. And in verse 2 through verse 5, we understand that the sons, the descendants of Japheth, were Gentiles. Now, folks, if it were possible for me to run a family tree on myself, I would be able to be traced back to Japheth. Japheth is the one that the Gentiles came from, all of the Gentiles. Look next, if you will, at verse 6, and you will see the descendants of Ham. Ham is the Hebrew word that means hot. Hot. It simply means hot. H-O-T, hot. And we read where the descendants of Ham went in verse in verse 7. We see we see that his descendants went into Egypt. They went into Libya. That's Put, P-H-U-T, Put. They went into the African continent. So the descendants of Ham settled in that hot region of the world, the descendants of Ham. And then in verse 21, you see the name Shem. Verse 21, Shem and all of his descendants. Now, Shem means this. It means name. Name. N-A-M-E. Look at me. This letter, this is a Hebrew letter right here. And it's the letter is the letter Shem, the S-H sound. And it is pronounced the Shem. An amazing thing is, through the centuries, you remember that the Jews felt that the name of God was too sacred and too holy to be pronounced. They, in writing the name, they would write it just simply J-H-V-H, Jehovah, J-H-V-H, just the consonants. That, those four consonants that make up the name Jehovah, became known as the tetra four grammaton letter, four letters. And it was so holy and so sacred that every time the scribe, when transposing the Bible, would come to that word, he would have to stop and he would have to wash himself, and then he would write, and then he would have to go back and wash himself, so that every time the name Jehovah, which is God's covenant name, every time it was mentioned, they had to purify themselves because they felt like they were standing in the presence of the Lord himself. All right, now, that Shem became sort of the acronym for God. And they called it Hashem, which simply means the name. Instead of saying Jehovah, they would simply refer to God as Hashem. And that sign, that it looks like that on a piece of paper, that is the letter Shem in the Hebrew alphabet. Here's an amazing thing, folks. If you got up in an airplane at about 10,000 feet and you look down upon the city of Jerusalem, and if you are flying from the east, coming from the east, and you look down upon the city of Jerusalem, there are three valleys that run through the city of Jerusalem. There is the valley of Gehenna. There is the Kidron Valley on the east side, valley of Gehenna on the west side, and then right through the center is what they call the Central Valley. And if you're coming from the east at about 10,000 feet and look down upon the city of Jerusalem, you see very clearly the Shem stamped upon that city through those three valleys. It's almost like God looked down and said, I'm going to put my name upon the city of Jerusalem. That's my land and that's my holy city. And so you say, well, what's the point? The Shemites are the Jews. The descendants of Shem are the Jews. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, I thought you would ask that. So I want you to turn over to Luke and I'll show you how I know that. Look over, just comparing scripture with scripture, okay? Go over to Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. And let's see. We're going backwards here now. We're going from Joseph all the way back to Adam in Luke's gospel. And I want you to look, please, at verse 32. This is familiar to you. It says, which was the son of Jesse, which was the son of Obed, which was the son of Boaz, which was the son of Salmon, which was the son of Naasson, which was the son of Abinadab, which was the son of Aram, which was the son of Esrom, which was the son of Phares, which was the son of Judah, which was the son of Jacob, which was the son of Isaac, which was the son of Abraham, which was the son of Terah, which was the son of Nahor. Are you listening? Which was the son of Saruk, which was the son of Regal, which was the son of Phalek, which was the son of Heber, which was the son of Salah, which was the son of Canaan, which was the son of what? Arphaxad, which was the son of Sem, which was the son of Noah, which was the son of Lamech. Now go back, if you will, hold your place, but go back. And you will read down here, verse 21 of the 10th chapter, unto Shem, also the father of the children of Eber, here you go, the brother of Japheth the elder, even unto him were children born, the children of Shem, Elab, and Asher, and Arphaxad, and Lud, and Aram. So there is Arphaxad, who was a direct descendant to Abraham. Who was Abraham? He was the first Jew. All right. So what we have here are the descendants, the people who settled in Canaan and in that whole region were the descendants of Shem. So you can see, folks, now here's what I want you to understand. I want you to see something here. I'm going somewhere. Just go with me and you'll be glad when we get there. But you don't know where I'm going. I do. So stay with me if you will. But here's what I want you to see. You've got three sons of Noah. You've got Ham, Shem, and Japheth. From these, all peoples have come. And I want you to notice here, you've got a mixture of people all living basically within a stone's throw of one another here in this chapter. They're not separated by continents. They're not separated by thousands of miles. They are separated sometimes by a mountain range, sometimes by a small river, sometimes by a desert. They are not miles and miles apart. And each one having their own ethnic trait and eventually staking claim to certain territory and establishing that land. Now, let's look, please, now at the expansion. And the Bible is going to give us and show us this expansion. Turn from the 10th chapter now over to the 12th and see what God's doing here. In the 12th chapter, here's a Shemite. His name is Abram. You and I know him as Abraham. But this is before he became Abraham. And in the 12th chapter, we see him being called of God. God called him to go down from Ur, a city, a city-state, if you will, which ironically was a Gentile settlement. It was a Gentile settlement. And here in this chapter, God calls to Abram and says, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall, what's the next two words? All families. Now, what's that mean? That means Gentile families. That means Hamite families. That means Shemite families. All families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, because God gave this promise to Abraham, and Abraham obeyed the will of the Lord, and he did what God said. He got up and he went out. Because he did that, eventually, you go back to Luke chapter 3, and you will read that eventually, through Abraham's seed, Jesus came. And Jesus went to the cross. He died on that cross. He was buried. And then he rose again the third day according to the scripture. And now whosoever will may come. And when you and I put faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are blessed through Abraham's seed. All right, everybody got that? All right, now look at chapter 15. Look at chapter 15. All right, let's see, verse 18, it says, in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt. What river is that? The Nile. Okay? In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed, who's his seed? The Jews. Have I given this land from the river of Egypt, in other words, from the Nile, unto the great river Euphrates. And the Euphrates runs through what? Iraq. Whoa. Hey, folks, in other words, the promise has been made that Israel is not just going to get that little tiny strip that you see on a map today. But God made a promise to Abraham that from Iraq all the way down, inclusive of Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, the West Bank, Gaza, all the way down to the Red Sea, all the way over into Egypt to the Nile River, that's the land that God promised to the Jews. You say, well, they've never had that. True. But they're going to. They will have it. You say, how do you know that? Because it's promised right here. God promised it to them. And he said, the Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Kadmonites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaims and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites, all of it is going to belong to Israel one of these days. You say, well, when's that coming? That's coming when the Lord comes and delivers it to them. That's coming at the Battle of Armageddon when Jesus comes and you and I come with him and he defeats the armies of the Antichrist and puts a stop to all of this aggression and oppression that is being thrust upon his chosen people. Now, all right, everybody got that part? All right, now let me go on. Turn over to chapter 25. All right, so we've got the Jews. All right, we've got the Jews, and they come from Shem. Now, look over at chapter 25. Now, here's something interesting. Look at this. Now, you remember Abraham was married to Sarah. All right, now Abraham and Sarah got a child of promise, and his name was Isaac. Now you remember that that Abraham and Sarah had a handmaiden. She was an Egyptian. She was a Hamite, an Egyptian. She was from not a Shemite. She was from Ham, not Shem. And Sarah said, "Let's help God out here. We've been promised a child." And I'm too old, I can't bear a child, so let's help God out. And you go to be with the handmaid, and we'll help God out. And Abraham got himself into Ishmaelite trouble. He got himself into Palestinian trouble. That they're still fighting that battle today. They never got over that battle. Had he just trusted God and obeyed God, wouldn't be in the mess he's in today. But he got himself into trouble. But now, wait a minute. Sarah died. And look at chapter 25. It says, then again, Abraham took a wife and her name was Keturah. So now Sarah died and Abraham, he got married again. And she bare him Zimron and Jokshan and Medan and Midian. That sound familiar? The Midianites? Midian. Remember when the children of Israel crossed over into the wilderness and they're out there wandering around in the peninsula in the Sinai? They're out there wandering around. Who came up to fight? The Midianites. Remember when they were over, Gideon fought against the Midianites. All right, so Midian and Ishbak and Shua and Jokshan begat Sheba and Dedan. And the sons of Dedan were Asherim and Letushim and Leumim. And the sons of Midian, and it goes on and on. Now look at verse 5, or last part of verse 4. I'm sorry, it says, all these were the children of Keturah. Now why the distinction? Why the distinction? Look at the next verse. It says, and Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac, the child of promise. You say, well, who were all these other kids that were born to Abraham and all of their descendants? Well, here's the amazing thing. You can go back and get and study up on these guys, and you will find out that all of these sons of Keturah became the countries that are all along the Persian Gulf over there, like Kuwait and Oman and the United Arab Emirates and Qatar or Qatar, however they pronounce that, and all the region south along the Persian Gulf. Now, you remember when Saddam, what was George Bush, the first George Bush, 1991 was it? When Saddam attacked Kuwait the first time, and you remember that Saddam stood up and said that Kuwait is Iraq's 19th province, and that he wanted it back. And that's why he attacked and went after them. And you also, Kuwait were the Midianites. They're the Midianites of today, the descendants of Midian. Do you remember when Joseph was sold into slavery? And who was it that came by and bought him? It was the Midianites, the descendants of, in other words, they were distant cousins. And they came through and purchased their own cousin and took him down into Egypt. So now we have the Jews. They come from Shem. We have from Abraham, who came from Shem. Then we have the Egyptians there, and they came from Ham. They did not come from Shem. The Egyptians came from Ham. We have Turkey. All right, putting it all together for you. Are you listening to me? Stay with me. All right, don't lose me now. You got Turkey. I'm trying to stay in the region for you. You got Turkey and Iran and the Persians, and they all come. They're all Gentiles. You say, well, Pastor, I'm confused. I thought they were all Arabs. No, 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 no. That's what I'm trying to get you to see here. They're not all Arabs, and I'm going to show you that. I'm going to show you where all that comes in just a moment. But get the point. Here's the Egyptians. They're Hamites, yet they hate Israel. Here's Turkey. They're Gentiles, yet they hate Israel. Kuwait and all these, yet they hate Israel. They're not Shemites. They're not the Japhethites. They're all Hamites. They don't all come from the descendants of Abraham. Now that leaves only one more people over there. One more people, and that is the Palestinians. Now you say, well, Where do the Palestinians fit in? How do they fit in? Folks, listen. The Palestinians are the Arabs. They are the Arabs. They're the true Arabs. Jew is a corruption of the word Judah. Jew is a corruption of the word Judah, which is mostly just a slang of the Hebrew word. The word Jew, Judah, basically means to cross over. To cross over. Abraham crossed over from Mesopotamia to Israel. He crossed over. And then the word Arab comes from Arabah, from the word Arabah. And Arabah was for many years the name of the peninsula of Arabia, Arabah. You say, well, what Arabia? Saudi Arabia. Why does it have the word Saudi on it? Because for generations and centuries, the Saud family, S-A-U-D, Saud family has ruled Arabia. Saudi Arabia. And so Arab comes from Arabah, Arabia, and the Hebrew word is Arab, E-R-E-B, and the Hebrew word means mingled or messed up. I kid you not. You say, well, all right, tie it together for me. All right, let me do that. Go back, please, to the 16th chapter. Verse 1, now Sarah, Abraham's wife, bare him no children, and she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my handmaid, that it may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarah. And Sarah, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Now, look, please, if you will, at, let's just read on. And Sarah said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. And Abraham said unto Sarah, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarah dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarah. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress, and, what's the next word? Submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a, what? And his name shall be called Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thine affliction. Ishmael means God shall hear. And God went on to say, and verse 12, and he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord, that spake unto her, "Thou God seest me, for she said, have I also here looked after him that seeth me?" Wherefore the well was called Beer Lahoi Roy, because behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bare Abraham a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abraham was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abraham. All right, now, folks, notice. Abraham takes Hagar and has a child. And Sarah got upset, sent her away, jealous, sent her away. She fled. The Lord, the angel of the Lord, verse 7, by the way, that's a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. Jesus came and found her by the well, and Jesus told her, said, "Look, go home and submit yourself." But I want you to notice what happened. In verse 11, verse 10, verse 11, verse 12, all the way down through here, you do never read in any of these verses that Ishmael was promised a land. Right? He's promised that he would be a large number, but he was never promised a land. And if you remember, in 25, I read to you that when Abraham was ready to die, 25:5, and Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. All right, the Abraham had a son through Sarah, the child of the miraculous child, the blessed child, the promised child, and all the promises went to him. Here was Ishmael. Now, folks, get this. All of the Arabs came from Ishmael. And you'll look at verse 12, and he will be a wild man. Folks, you get two Arabs together and you have a jihad. They don't like you. You don't like them. They are wild men. Their hand is against every man, and every man's hand is against them. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. He will dwell in the presence of all his brethren. And the whole idea here is that he will be opposed to, he will be stubborn, he will not be agreeable. And folks, that is the Palestinian. That is the true Arab. You say, "But Pastor, I'm confused. I thought that all those folks were Arabs." That's what I'm trying to get you to see. The word Arab is simply the political aspect of it, which unites them and ties them to a common cause, which is hatred against God's people. But the true Arab is the Palestinian. It is the descendant of Ishmael. You say, well, they're over there crying, "Give us a land, give us back our land." I know, but they don't have one. They've never had one. It was never promised to them. The land was promised to Abraham's son Isaac, and Isaac to Jacob, and Jacob to Joseph, and right on down the line. All right? All right, so you got the Egyptians, not true Arabs, descendants of Ham. But what do we know about them? They're Muslim by religion. So then you got the Pakistani people. How do you explain the fighting there? They're Shemites, yes, they're Shemites, but they are Muslim. They're not Jewish. They're Muslim. They don't believe in Judaism. They believe in Allah. They don't believe in Jehovah. They worship Allah. You've got Jordan, the capital city. We were just in Jordan last week. Their capital city is Amman, named after one of the Ammonites, or the people of the Ammonites, one of Lot's sons. They are Muslim by religion, but they're Shemites. They're from Shem. You have Iran, Iraq. They're not Arabs. They're Gentiles. Folks, the only true Arabs over there are the ones that live in the West Bank of Israel and the Gaza Strip and Saudi Arabia. That's it. You say, well, then what's all this Arab-Israeli? Folks, listen, that's the point. This thing is bigger than you. It's bigger than George Bush. It's bigger than the United States of America. This is the age-old conflict that has been raging ever since Sarah said, Abraham, I've got a good idea. You with me? The only true Arabs in the whole region are the people living on the West Bank and the Gaza Strip and the people of Saudi Arabia. Ishmael had 12 sons, and I don't have time, we're already, time's up. Ishmael had 12 sons, just like Jacob had 12 sons. All right? Just like Jacob. He had 12 sons, and they all went into Saudi Arabia and founded and lived. And so the problem, folks, here it is. Listen to me, I got to quit. I'm not done, but I'm going to quit. So the problem is not an Arab conflict. It is a Muslim conflict. It is a battle over who's going to be God. And that's the struggle. Arab is just a catch-all term to unite Muslims. That's all it is. It is a catch-all term to unite Muslims. But don't be deceived, folks. This is not the United States versus Saddam Hussein. This is not the United States versus King Fahd. This is not the United States versus Musharraf. This is not Russia versus Ahmadinejad or whatever his name is. No, this is God and the devil fighting it out. And it's already written in the book who's going to win. And so you and I just keep on serving Jesus and trusting the Lord and looking for His return and winning folks to Christ and preaching the Word and praying and walking with God. We just stay with it. And you say, well, all this conflict, boy, it just scares me to death. No! Should make you excited. When you see all these things come to pass, lift up your head. Your redemption draweth nigh. Could be today. So when you see all this stuff, folks say, well, I'm just worried about that nuclear bomb. Iran's going. They're not going to get a nuclear bomb. They're not going to do it. And by the way, I learned something else. I learned something else when we were in Israel that I did not know. And I verified this to make sure. I had dinner on our last night. I sat with the minister of tourism who came over to thank us for coming. And I asked him, I'd heard it earlier, it was reported in one of our meetings, and then I asked him about it, and he verified it. Yasser Arafat, remember, head of the PLO, you know, come over here with Carter and Clinocchio and all the rest of them, you know, and they sit down, they work out all these details, and they work out all these peace agreements, and then he goes home and says, nah, we don't want that. I mean, my goodness, they gave him the farm. But remember, he's Palestinian, he's Arab, his hand's against every man, every man's hand's against him. He couldn't accept anything. If he accepted, then there was nothing to fight about. And that's what they live for, is to fight. They just want to fight. All right, so what happened? Well, you know, he died of AIDS. Oh, yeah. He died of AIDS. And while we were over there, his boyfriend died of AIDS. And I asked the tourism minister, I said, is that true? He said, you didn't watch the news today? I said, when do I have time to watch the news? Plus, they speak Hebrew and I don't. Doesn't do me any good to watch the news. It just all sounds the same to me. I don't know if they're giving sports or telling you the weather. I don't know. And he said, well, it's real easy. When they do the weather, they got the weather map. I said, oh, stop it. Smacked him. He was a card. But he said, oh, yeah. He said that's true. I said, well, you know, it's funny. We haven't heard that in America. He said, oh, no, you won't hear it in America either. But he said, we have videotapes. I said, really? He said, oh, yeah. Scores of them. He said, that it was the biggest bunch of perverts you ever saw in your life. I said, whoa. So, folks, it's getting down to the wire. That's what I'm saying. It's just getting down to the wire. I mean, it could happen today. It could happen today. So remember in 1948 when Israel became, they sent word to the UN? They said, we're a nation. Seven Muslim nations around Israel sent word to all the Arabs, to the Palestinians, and said, get out now, go over into Jordan. So they all went fleeing over to Jordan, and in 1948, they attacked Israel. The idea was to push the Jews into the sea, and then they'd all move back over. Well, they didn't push Israel into the sea. And now here were all these Palestinians in Jordan. And King Hussein, the first King Hussein, Abdullah Hussein, he said, we don't want them. And so he called Egypt, and Egypt said, we don't want them. Well, what are we going to do with them? They said, send them back. Israel said, uh-uh, you ain't sending them back here. So they called up to Lebanon, and Lebanon said, yeah, we'll take them. And in 1948, Beirut, Lebanon was a peaceful, friendly, loving place. It is a trash dump today. They sent them all up there, and it's been nothing but jihad ever since. So, folks, that's what's going on in our world. Please understand that when you see all this stuff happening, it's not just random things. Well, looky there. Well, looky there. Well, what do you know about that? No, it's all foretold in the book. And all you got to do is read the Bible and you'll see we're right on track. Boy, I'm just worried about things. Don't be worried. Turn to the back and you'll see we win. God's people win. And you get to the end of the book and there's Jesus sitting on the throne. And everything's going to be all right. All right, let's pray. Our Father, bless the Word of God to our hearts. Give us understanding of what we've heard. And Lord, I know a lot of information, a lot to process, but give us understanding of what we've heard. And Lord, may each one of us realize that, Lord, your coming is soon. And Lord, as we read in the book of the Revelation, John's prayer, his final prayer, last prayer of the Bible, even so come, Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, we look forward to that day when we see you face to face. In your name we pray. Amen.